Welcome to Psych Gumbo, Tulane's mental health radio show for the Tulane and New Orleans community. I'm Dr. Holly Peek, and I'm a psychiatry intern at Tulane University.
And I'm Dr. Mordecai Potash. I'm a psychiatry attending and also work at the Counseling Center on campus.
So for today's show, we went in the wake of all the events in Boston and the bombing at the Boston Marathons, we really wanted to talk about what people may be emotionally going through after these events. So we have a very special guest with us today. It is Tim Phillips, and he is the maintenance coordinator at the Riley Center here at Tulane. And Tim was actually at the Boston Marathon on the day of the bombings. So thank you so much for being here today, Tim.
Thank you for having me.
So can you tell us a little bit about where you were during the bombings and what you experienced?
Sure. I was on the third floor of a Crate and Barrel, a block and a half from the finish line, just above where the second bomb went off. And my girlfriend had just run by. We watched her. She actually crossed the finish line. We have two photos of the clock, one when she was crossing and one when the first bomb went off, very clearly, 23 seconds apart. So she was right at that finish. I just saw her run past. I thought she was involved in the bombing, you know, in the melee, in the aftermath.
Right. And you must have been really worried when...
Extremely worried. That was really it took me maybe 40 minutes by the time I actually reached her. And I've never experienced any of that kind of anxiety and distress in my life. It was just really, you know, I kept repeating to myself, please be okay, please be okay.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of things did you see and feel like during that 40 minutes time?
Well, the things I saw were really horrible because I was down onto the race course and at that second corner right at 700 Boylston. 700 Boylston. Within maybe 90 seconds of the second blast going off, so I ran right up on some pretty gory carnage. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't need to get real graphic about it, but it was really horrible. I did see one of the great, beautiful things I saw was first responders and just bystanders running towards the blasts. Everybody was trying to, I can't say everybody, but most people were really trying to help. There were some panicked people trying to scatter out of there, of course. But I remember thinking in that strange sort of lucidity you have in a situation like that, my goodness, they're running towards the bombs. Mm-hmm. Lots of people are running towards the bombs. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and that is something we heard a lot about in the news coverage in the days after.
Yeah, absolutely. How brave especially a lot of the marathon volunteers were, that they had gotten some training in responding to incidents like this, but certainly nothing like they experienced. And what a great sense of professionalism and welfare for everyone they showed, and how seamlessly they seemed to work with police and EMS and fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
And so what happened when you finally found your girlfriend? That must have been a very long 40 minutes.
Yes, it was an amazing 40 minutes because I got down on the course, like I said. I tried to get through that spot, and the policeman stopped me. So I had to kind of backtrack after helping two other policemen, and this one policeman dragged some barricades to sort of cordon off this corner. I took off around and got to a street across and kept trying to every block come in. I'm very familiar with the finish line and that area of Boston. We've both done a race numerous times. This was Kirsten's 14th Boston Marathon.
Wow.
In a row. So we were, you know, I've been down there a lot. So I kept trying to get back onto the course and couldn't, just for the crowds and the, mm-hmm. you know, the police presence at that point. They weren't letting anyone there. So finally I got to a point where I just kept going down and trying to get back to the pickup area where you can pick up your bag where you dropped your sweat clothes and your phone or what have you. And I got to a point where I couldn't move anymore. So I just stopped and I realized I had my phone on me. So I pulled it out, and with no hope of getting through, I called her number. And like I said, it's about 40 minutes later, she answered the phone with the words, "I'm okay."
Oh, wow. It actually just gave me goosebumps when you said that.
Yeah. It's going to make me cry for sure.
Yeah. Wow.
Absolutely.
You know, and a lot of people had a lot of emotions during that day. And in the week after that, you know, we were talking earlier about in the news, they just kept calling it a war zone, like over and over again during the news. And We'd like to introduce, you know, what a lot of people do go through after traumatic events like this. PTSD, or post-traumatic stress disorder, or acute stress disorder, is fairly common in people who experience events such as these.
Right. And I think we always try to do a balancing act as well, that responsible mental health people try to balance where we want individuals to get the help they need, but we don't want people to be unnecessarily labeled, that, and we don't want to, what we call, pathologize people, that the shock, grief, anger that they're going through, normal human reactions. Fortunately, since September 11th, and even prior to September 11th, there were some well-funded, since September 11th, very well-done studies looking at New York City, the population in New York City, as well as a surrounding country, about who's really susceptible to becoming stressed or coming down with at least symptoms of PTSD after one of these mass casualty events. And this is very important, because most mental health clinicians, when they work with individuals, honestly, it's usually a single individual or a small group, usually not nationally known in the media. And so it's almost like a different animal when you're talking about one of these horrific mass casualty events that's everywhere in the news. There's been some really well done studies, as I mentioned, that showed in particular there are two groups that are really susceptible to exhibiting symptoms of PTSD after these mass casualty events. One group are people that we like to call people on the verge of a nervous breakdown. Those were already emotionally very vulnerable, had a lot of anxiety, had been admitted to psychiatric hospitals before, or maybe even lost touch with reality before the event due to schizophrenia or bipolar mood disorder, and incorporate the tragedy into their delusions or hallucinations. I can't tell you how many people I've seen in the emergency room with schizophrenia who have delusions about Al-Qaeda or Osama bin Laden being involved, that they saw them, or personally that they're in New Orleans as part of their delusions due to their mental illness. Now, the other group, though, that was really traumatized, I think this really is important for the general population, are those that constantly, consistently, over and over again expose themselves to television or radio, but especially television news, repeatedly, hour after hour after hour, to the point where day after day after day, and now we're a couple weeks after the Boston bombing, there are still scores of people that have given up their usual habits, such as exercising, socializing, the things that ground them and anchor them, and instead are spending all their free time watching the news about the Boston bombing. Yes, the news is important, but what's also important is for each individual to know when enough is enough, when it's time to turn off the TV and get back to those things in their life that anchor them, their habits that ground them and can give them a basis for analyzing and integrating this information in a healthy way.
And for people who were, you know, at ground zero of, you know, the September 11th event, or had close family members or friends who were there, or people at ground zero at Boston or had close family members or friends there, a lot of the symptoms of PTSD may be normal and not necessarily like pathological. You know, when people go through these events, they may have an intense feeling of fear and helplessness when they were there. But like as you were saying, it's important to get back to your usual habits, you know, the habits that ground you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that, as you just said, Holly, that's a normal reaction. Mm-hmm. And what helps to treat that normal reaction is to get back to the things that gave us comfort, meaning, purpose, and value before the tragedy. Our friends, you know, our valued hobbies, those things that mean so much to us on a day-to-day life.
And that's not necessarily watching CNN or Fox News all day and, you know, being re-exposed to it over and over again.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And so, Tim, you know, after the event, you were there, but did you watch television coverage after the event? And how did you feel that you may or may not have been affected by this?
Well, the short answer to that question is yes, I did. We got back to Philadelphia that night, Monday night. We drove all the way back. We were originally scheduled to stay in Boston, but decided to go down to Kirsten's brother's house in Philadelphia. It was his 17th Boston Marathon in a row, so it's sort of a family event. And when we got back, it was about 2 a.m. when we finally arrived in Philadelphia. We basically turned CNN on to see what was going on. But really, after that first day, the next day, I quit watching the news altogether. Mostly for me, it was nothing new, and I'm not much of a TV guy, so that it made it a little easier.
Mm-hmm. And did you do anything in particular in the days or weeks after this event to emotionally recover yourself?
You know, it's a great question, and I did. Exactly as Dr. Potash was saying, I did some of those things. I went back to running. I got back out and ran. I came to work. I tried to deal with, you know, the emotional ups and downs that I was having and just get back to normal, you know, cooking at home and working in the garden, just the things I normally do. Although I will say that it wasn't unaffected. It was definitely on my mind a lot.
Sure.
There were a lot of things that I had to keep running through my head and try to sort out, and I'm still trying to go through some of that.
Yeah, and like we said, I mean, these are normal human reactions, that Tim is having.
Absolutely, absolutely. A lot of us experienced Katrina, you know, the trauma dislocation of that. Myself, personally, I was doing my fellowship in medicine in New York during September 11th. Fortunately, you know, I was several miles away, but the entire healthcare community was very involved in that. And certainly, I remember in the weeks and months afterward asking myself if there was more that I could do. And I think the answer to that is doing your part and knowing when your part's enough. We talked about, as we were getting ready for this episode, how important it was for the citizens of Boston that they followed the government's advice, that they stayed in their houses, stayed out of the way, and the community really pulled together by doing what was asked of them.
And I think that is the cool thing that they did talk a lot about on the news that I noticed, was that all the helpers out there. It was comforting, you know, Tim was saying earlier that all the people who were actually running towards Ground Zero to help. And, you know, out of all this, it was comforting to see, like, you know, mankind come together in that way.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, that the thoughtlessness of two people is eclipsed by the thoughtfulness of the thousands of people who reacted within seconds at considerable cost to their own safety.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I saw. I like to say that I saw one single act of heinous, heinous proportions, followed immediately by thousands and thousands of really beautiful acts.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have one more very important question for you. Do you plan on going back next year?
I do.
All right. That's awesome.
I do. We all do. Kirsten, myself, and her brother are all going back, and it'll be weird, but we're going.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for sharing
your story with us.
Thanks for having me.
So that's it for our episode of Site Gumbo today. You can visit our website at www.sitegumbo.com. And follow us on Twitter and Facebook.
And please, audience, we would love to get your comments and questions, your own experience. So please use the web address and submit some feedback.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a good day.